Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:32 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is September 12th. And today was Apple's big reveal for the iPhone X, and the share was a bit mixed, up and down. And what I think investors are waiting for is to see just how well it sells. A good deal of good news has already been priced in, with the share rallying from just above 140 to around 165 over the last couple of months. So there is the potential that this is a bit of buy the rumor, sell the news type of scenario. And certainly, if we look at, and I spent a good deal of time watching the presentation today, but what was quite clear is that they're trying to aim it at the younger market, which is the emojis, the artificial or the augmented reality, I should say, and the charging stations. So that is something that will certainly appeal to the younger generation. Whether they can in fact afford $999 for the basic edition of the phone is another question entirely. And that is why I think the price has been largely range-bound now for the last few weeks, because this is a big question. But when we look at it on a weekly basis, then we're presented with really an overextension relative to the trend mean. And something that I've pointed out in previous videos is that the loss of consistency at the penultimate high is something that we saw back in 2014, that the share had accelerated higher, pulled back, it moved up to a new high, but it wasn't able to sustain it. We've had something very similar, that the share really did accelerate higher at the beginning of this year. Then it pulled back rather sharply, unwound the overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and now it has pushed up to new highs. The big question is whether it's going to be able to sustain this level, and that is a big question. Certainly, we can also see that Samsung is moving out to price phones in the $900 area. So we are talking about the phones at the upper end of the spectrum starting to approach the prices of laptops. And in fact, laptops, there are a significant number of laptops that come in below the price of a phone these days, which really does help to ram home the point that a brand means a lot. And that is something that is being questioned in the consumer sector, where we have, I think when you look at what's happening in the retail sector and the sacrifices that some of those companies are making in order to stay in business, then that's going to put increasing pressure on some of their suppliers, which are the owners of some household name brands. And that represents a challenge. And of course, then what those companies are going to have to do is to try and either come up with better products or trade even more on their brand, or limit the number of companies that they're selling them to, or indeed to expand even more aggressively into the emerging markets where the majority of their growth is coming from. This was an important day also for the pound, and against the dollar, it's now at a new recovery high. It's up to 132, almost 133. When we look at the chart and strip away everything else, because the news flow is really quite emotionally oriented, it is back and forth and focusing on what one person says or another. But when we look at what's happening with the price action for the pound, particularly versus the dollar, which has been quite weak this year, then we're presented with a progression of higher reaction lows. We're presented with a range in the region of the trend mean, and it has increasing characteristics of a first step above this type 2 base. So that would suggest that the likelihood is that the pound is on a recovery trajectory versus the dollar, but it's likely to be a slow recovery. Inflation figures came in ahead of expectations today. The Bank of England has, I think, really had a willingness, or exhibited a willingness, to run inflation hot over much of the last decade, in at least in part, to erode the value of the outstanding debt. When we look at the 10-year gilt yield, then it's at 1.13%, but that was a pretty substantial upper dynamic in terms of the yield today. And it suggests that investors are at least willing to begin to price in the potential that the UK might have to raise interest rates. And I think we would have to stress the have to part of that sentence, because I think we can conclude that the Bank of England doesn't particularly want to raise rates, but they feel they may have no choice. And that is despite the fact that they would prefer to run inflation hot. They are presented with some quite unique challenges as a result of the decision to exit the EU. And because of that uncertainty, inflation is rising, and not least because the pound has come down so much already. But if they begin to raise interest rates, then at least that may act as a salve for the pound. But it is likely to have, or at least represent, a headwind for the stock market. The FTSE today was in negative territory, but if we look at, for example, the majority of global indices, then they were pretty much all in positive territory. And the Nikkei today was up 1.18%, and again, among one of the better performing markets. Now, when we look at, for example, what the dollar is doing versus the yen, then it is coming back up to test this 110 area, and we can see very clearly on the daily chart that that 110 area has offered resistance for much of the last month. If it can sustain a move above 110 and break the downward bias evident since the middle, or really the beginning of July, then that will begin to suggest that we're back in a dollar-dominated environment, and that could have a catalytic event effect on the Nikkei. The Nikkei has been ranging in the region of 20,000 since December of last year. And when we look at it on that long-term chart, it has been an awfully long time since the Nikkei was able to sustain a move above 20,000. We have often in the past looked at the second section index, and that has been a tower of strength and moved to a new recovery high in here today. It pulled back at the beginning of September, but that was an upside key on that particular day five sessions ago, and now it's at a new all-time high. And if we look at it on a weekly basis, it looks like a steep advance, but it has been really quite consistent in terms of how much it has been performing. And considering that it is a lead indicator, then it is giving us a really quite resounding bull signal. So I think that the potential is that the Japanese market is due at least some attention from investors, and if the yen can continue to weaken, then that is likely to boost nominal prices on the stock market. And the S&P 500 is trading right in the region of that 2500 point level. It closed on the upper side of its range for the day. It's at a new all-time high. It's been ranging below this level for the last 8 weeks. And when we look at the consistency of the trend and again strip away all the news, all of the opinion, and simply tailor our strategy to the reality provided by the market, then this is still a reasonably consistent advance. And one of the most consistent things about it have been the size of the reactions. And as long as we're getting similar sized reactions that are resolved by successful breakouts, then there is very little reason to question the consistency of the advance. And if we ask ourselves very simple filter questions, is there any evidence of type 1, type 2, or type 3 trend ending characteristics? Well, the answer is no. And if the answer is no, then we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And the NASDAQ is closing in once more on this 6,000 point level, and it is only 5 points away from it. And this is also really looking like a bullish chart. This has been a bullish consolidation in the region of the upper side of the range since the beginning of September, and it is looking increasingly likely that it will be able to sustain a breakout. And a clear downward dynamic, which of course cannot be ruled out because we saw something like that from this level back in July, would of course suggest that we're going to have an additional period of pause and consolidation. But so far there's no sign of it, and that would suggest that we're likely to continue to see additional upside, and not least because what we've primarily seen, I'll post it tomorrow, but I wanted to give it a full read first, was Howard Marks's latest missive, and again talking about the risk that everyone is worried about valuations, and certainly valuations are no longer cheap. But we are at a point in time where the question is no longer whether the stock markets are cheap, but rather how expensive are they likely to get? Are we at in the second psychological perception stage and moving into the third psychological perception stage, which is characterized by massive overvaluation or a bubble? And we can't rule that out, considering that we are only at the dawn of central banks beginning to raise interest rates. It could be a quite some time before those interest rates become prohibitively tightening, and then the question is whether the bond market is even willing to give them any credence at all. Because what the bond market is suggesting is that interest rates aren't going to go up in an aggressive manner, and that it could be quite some time before we get to really restrictive monetary policy. So if that is indeed the case, then that means that the quantity of liquidity out there in the market is likely to remain, and that is ample to and not least in a period of synchronized global economic expansion to fuel additional upside for shares. So in the absence of a clear downward dynamic, and it is not beyond the bounds of possibility that we get one, but until we get one, we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.